J.H. Jowett was in a country, didn't realize the intimacy of a shepherd with his flock, and was in Syria, southern part of Europe, and in parts of southern Europe, Anyway, it was his daily delight every day to go out and watch a shepherd with his sheep. And he was watching the shepherd with his sheep. And notice, ladies, you have longer hair. Us guys, especially a guy like me who's losing all his hair, it's always cool. So I'm always cool, okay? Just get that straight. Ladies, you're suffering with, in the heat of the day, you know, if you're out in the sun, it's hot. You want to be in the shade. Well, imagine a woolly lamb. Well, the point of the shepherd is to take the lambs where they can be cooled off. So he'd sit in the shadows. The flock would gather around him and would rest there in the midst of the heat. At night, when there was darkness, he gathered them into a fold. A fold would be a protective barrier where the sheep would instinctively go and call, with the call of the shepherd. He goes on to write, he says, we need to realize that this kind of intimacy between a shepherd and a sheep, we need to appreciate that imagery if we're to understand the role of the Lord as our shepherd. So which passage of Scripture can you think of that speaks of the Lord as our shepherd? Give me a passage of Scripture. Which one do you think of? Psalm 23. Well, kids, you got to remember that. How many of you parents have read Psalm 23 to your kids? Come on. Yeah. You need to do that. You need to read these Psalms, these portions of Scripture to your kids. You ever talk about the imagery between sheep and shepherd? David obviously wasn't saying, I'm a little lamb, and God is my shepherd. That wasn't what he was doing. But he was using the imagery to speak of the intimacy of the relationship. We'll talk more about that this weekend. Let's talk about shepherds for a moment. We're in John chapter 10. Now, shepherds, of course, were responsible for the physical survival, right? You got sheep. If you were a shepherd, you'd be looking for sheep, and you'd be looking to buy sheep, sell sheep, and so on. But once you had these sheep under your care, you realized that you had to care for them. You did everything to make sure that they were fed right. How many of you have ever had a pet? Had a pet, right? Nobody's had a pet sheep, though, right? But you had a dog, cat. How many of you have had a goldfish? We had a fish. I talked to our fish, and then he died. And I had to send him to the blue yonder. Yeah. No, you'd have a relationship, right? Relationship with a fish. Well, the fish would, I'm telling you, I'd talk to the fish. The fish would look back at me and come to the, you know, to the face of the bowl and go, you know, feed me more. Yeah. And that fish recognized my voice because nobody else would be able to talk to that fish. We had a connection. Sheep need shepherds. Would you agree with that? Did your pet need you? What do you think? Yeah, if you had a bird, you had a dog, you had a cat. First thing you do in the morning, if you have a cat, guess what the cat does as soon as you come out of the room? Meow. And what do they do? Come alongside you, wrap their tail around your leg, you know. And sometimes our son Tim's got a cat. His name's Gringo. No, sorry, Ringo. And he'd actually lay down and he'd wait for you to rub his belly. You know, and then that was his way of saying, please feed me. And there's this intimacy. This relationship. Shepherds had to provide shelter for these sheep. Sheep can't go around and build their own shelter, can they? What about medication? Sheep needed medication when they were sick. Who would give them medication? Of course, the shepherd would. What about when they were lame, when they were weary? The shepherd. Well, this job of being a shepherd is pretty intensive. It's full time. If you have a pet, you realize, and those of you who are raised on a farm know that you cannot leave the farm for any length of time. Something could go wrong, right? You know, the cattle could die, and so on. Guess what the shepherd would wear, though? As a result of the, when we think of the Old Testament, a lot of the shepherds wore the clothing that came from the sheep, right? They made leather pouches and so on. The wool, and the sheep would see that. I don't think they commented on it, but who knows? Just one of the guys. Yeah, you're just one of the guys. Of course, the shepherd not only would be recognized by his voice and singing and so on, but he also had a rod with a little bit of a knob on the end to ward off any critters, coyotes, wolves, bears, and so on. And so we know that in Scripture we have that same imagery where David, as a shepherd boy, was, you know, as he went out to meet with Saul and the army, we have this this scene where he says to Saul, I actually can fight. I've fought off bears and wolves, and I've defeated them. He'd have a club, and he'd have a staff. And the staff, of course, was a way, it had often had a crook in it. The crook was, of course, to guide the sheep along if they were getting a little out of line, but also sometimes if they fell over the side of a cliff, they could actually move them over and so on, wherever they could reach with the length of that staff. Let's go to John chapter 10 for a moment. So the Lord Jesus is the shepherd. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So I want you to imagine this is the sheepfold. It's the enclosure in which the sheep are in. You had to come through a door. The door was opened. Now, if somebody would start to come through the roof, you'd sort of say, what is this guy doing? He's wrecking the place. That's not the way to come in here. He didn't have permission to do that. So he broke a window and got in here and took stuff, some of the sound equipment and whatever. You say, well, that's not fair. That's not nice. People are getting inside of our fold. That's where the sheep are. They're inside of this fold, this protective barrier by which the shepherd would oversee them, protect them from any intruders. Jesus says that he is the door. And anybody that comes into that fold through any other way other than the door is a thief and a robber. So I get it. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd isn't coming to steal and destroy. The shepherd comes through the actual ordained, if you will, entrance, the place that's been marked out, clearly specified. This is where the sheep come through. The shepherd comes through, and he sees the sheep. He recognizes them. That's the imagery that we have. Of course, there's a doorkeeper, verse 3. To him, the doorkeeper opens. He sees the shepherd coming. He recognizes the shepherd, says, yes, you are entitled to be here. These are your sheep. We as elders are doorkeepers. Jesus is the shepherd. This is the fold. Interesting, isn't it? Boys and girls, do you ever see it that way? You ever see, think about it that way? When I was a little boy, I wanted to be on the farm, and Les got to have all of that, and I guess Vern did too, and others that got to be on a farm. I liked being on the farm. I didn't always like the smells, but I liked the fresh milk, I liked the fresh eggs, I like to hear the sounds in the morning. Can you imagine what it'd be like in the morning when the sheep wake up and you're the shepherd and you're just making a fire and you're just taking care of breakfast? Sheep are still inside the fold. You want to let them out. They want to go out to the pasture. And they can see you. They're not going to move until you say they can go. That's the imagery that the Lord wants us to see here. Verse 3 says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Why do the sheep hear the shepherd's voice? It's a good question, isn't it? Why is it that your children hear your voice? Why is it that your children are pacified by you and not someone else? Because you have related to them. There's an intimacy between you and them that nobody else has. Now, you can say things to your kids that others can't say to your kids. Your kids hear your voice and listen to your voice. That's how God created us. That's how God designed us. God designed us so that we would hear His voice. And He's speaking to us day in and day out, through conscience, through creation, through His Word, and by His Spirit. Those of us who know the Lord, we know His voice in that sense. Okay? To hear the voice of God is not some existential experience. It's a knowledge that stems from an intimate relationship with God. What does that intimacy involve? It involves praying. It involves trust. It involves obeying. It involves cultivating the relationship, spending time with God and saying, I realize that everything that you have done is for my benefit. By the way, everything that I've just said to you is something that you know by nature, if you will, because of the relationship that you have with your parents. Sometimes we as children want to have a deeper relationship with our parents, and we don't necessarily understand why we can't. Some of it's related to our parents. Sometimes it's related to us. But guess what? God knows us completely. And God wants to have a deep and abiding fellowship with us. And He uses the imagery of a shepherd who knows his sheep, and the sheep know his voice. Let's talk about sheep for a moment. Sheep, of course, in the Middle East during Old Testament times, and still there's a lot of shepherding and going on with sheep. But sheep are valuable. They were the economic basis of taking care of life, living. Of course, there was the food, there was the clothing, there was the leather, shoes, and so on. You could store milk in that leather pouch. You could put your food in a leather bag. And so on. Hard for us to maybe envision that. How many of you have ever worked with leather? Anybody here work with leather? Yeah, Vern, you worked with leather. Some years ago, I met a fellow. This is in Wawa, where we used to live. And this guy loved to work with leather. And so he said, you know, I'm going to make you a Bible case. And he made me a little Bible case, a couple of straps, and just working with leather. I knew another guy. I used to go to his place and work on some of his appliances. He had, he was a trapper, and he worked with leather all the time. Interesting. Kids, you know where leather comes from? You know, the sheep carry the leather in their back pocket, right? What do you think? Where does leather come from? Any idea? Leather comes from cows. What is leather? Do you know what the leather is? It's what? It's what? The skin from the cow. Mm-hmm. Or the pig. There's pig leather, there's cow leather, and there's sheep leather. There's all kinds of different types of leather. Now, by the way, you got skin, but you don't have leather, okay? You don't have leather. Yeah. A lot of shoes that are out there are made of leather. Cowboy boots made of leather. Yeah. I got a pair of slippers made of moose hide and buffalo hide. Yeah. Leather. You know something? Sheep horns were also used as containers. Sheep bones were made to made needles, scrapers, lances, arrowheads. All this was coming from that one sheep, if you will. Let's go to verse 4. So, first of all, the shepherd knows the sheep. He leads the sheep in verse 3. In verse 4, let's read it. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him, for they know his voice. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Are you following the shepherd? Have to reflect upon that. I'm sure as the Lord Jesus was speaking these words to the group of people that were around him, they certainly caught it. They all would have identified with shepherding and sheep. They all would have at some time had to offer a lamb. They all would have been eating, if you will, lamb chops. Yeah. They all would have had clothing that was made from sheep. Verse 4 says that they follow the shepherd. What does it mean to follow the shepherd? Well, you certainly can't follow someone whose voice you don't recognize or someone that you don't know. You need to follow. You will follow the one that you know. So here's the importance of our role as parents, by the way, in knowing our kids and being confident that our kids know us so that when we speak into their lives, they need not question anything that we say because they know that what we say is true. The voice of the shepherd is about the truth and the guidance that he provides. The voice that we as parents provide for our children is about the truth and the guidance that we provide in keeping with what God has to say. Let's look at some Old Testament metaphor. Let's go to Genesis chapter 49. Okay, now you got to have your Bibles in hand. We're going to fly through some verses. Genesis 49, verse 24. Genesis chapter 49 is the chapter where Jacob is on his deathbed and he's gathered his sons together and he's now pronouncing blessings on them. Now, all of us who have had parents who have passed on and so on, we were probably by their bedside at some point in time where they talked to us. In some cases, they may have said they were grateful for us, they blessed us, and so on. That's what's happening here in this passage. Verse 24, this is in relation to Joseph. Verse 24, but his bow remained in strength, and arms and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. From there is what? From where? From God. God is the shepherd. Of who? The nation of Israel. That's the point that's being made in this passage. Let's go to another passage, Book of Numbers. Moses is going to be leaving the scene, Numbers chapter 27, and he needs to pass the baton on. He needs to pass the responsibility and the authority on. All of us who have worked in business understand that if we own a business, we need to pass it on, and normally we pass it on to faithful people. Oftentimes, that becomes our children. But we have to be confident that they can handle it. Numbers chapter 27, verse 16. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." So the imagery again. Why? Because this whole time that they were out in the wilderness, they were actually offering sheep. They were dependent upon the sheep for food, for clothing, and so on. So that imagery is there. Everybody that heard the idea of shepherding knew, because they had their own flocks, that meant to care intimately, to be intentional in caring for the sheep. Moses is saying, God, raise up a person who will care for this flock, the nation of Israel, in an intimate way. Here's another passage. Psalm 77. Let's go to Psalms. Book of Psalms. Psalm 77. Verse 20. Psalm 77, verse 20. Statement being made, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So now you know that God was using people, Moses and Aaron, to shepherd God's flock. God is using you as parents to shepherd, to care intimately for your children. God is using us as elders and small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, women's ministry, all the ministries, and you just got so many emails this week to tell you that everything's starting up, to just let you know that we're trying to shepherd, to care for you intimately. Let's go to Psalm 78, verse 52, just a page over. Psalm 78, verse 52, "But he made his own people go forth like sheep, and he guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they did not fear." Yes, there's that shepherding imagery. Come to the end of the chapter, verse 70. "He also chose David, his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds, took him from his job of tending sheep, and from following the ewes that he brought him. And to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance." And so he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness of his hands. Let's think about that phrase, integrity of his heart. You know what that means? To do it with sincerity, with the interest of caring for your children, for people, so that they would benefit, progress, mature, be cared for. Interesting imagery. You know, a shepherd cares for his sheep. If there's a sheep that's sick, he'll go down to that sheep and bow down and look that sheep over. Checking the ears, checking the teeth, feeling the temperature. Checking to see in the undercoat if there's anything. Going right down to the skin, if you will, to find out if there's any blemishes. Some wound. Caring. Psalm 95, verse 7. Now, if you've been reading your Bible, you probably have this verse underlined, just like you might have had in that Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72. Psalm 95, verse 7 says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." God says that you and I are his sheep. Under his hand, the care of his hands, using the imagery that God cares intimately for us. Pretty important. Sometimes you come to church, or maybe you're going through life and you're saying, you know, I really wonder if God cares about me. God uses this imagery with the nation of Israel because they understood how much was involved in caring for these sheep. Their livelihood depended upon it. God is saying that The livelihood of my flock depends upon me caring for them. And so God cares for you, loves you, takes care of you. Here's another passage, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Now we'll go to the New Testament for a few moments. Isaiah 40, verse 11. This is a verse that we had used when we used to have a cradle care program. Sadie used to be involved in taking care of that. And this is one of the verses that we used. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arms, and he'll carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Tender, watchful care. You need to think about that for a moment. Those of us who can remember back to our childhood, and those of you kids, know the comfort that you receive when you're hurting. You go to mama, you go to dad. When you want to have a good time, you don't go to strangers, you go to mom and dad. You're laughing, you're having fun together. When you first get married, and you're thinking about that first meal, you're thinking, boy, she don't cook like my mama. That's what happens. Yeah, because we were cared for. We remember that. When we need counsel, who do we turn to? We often turn to our dads and we say, well, hey, Dad, what do you think? Mom, what do you think? Why? It's because we were cared for. The imagery of shepherding. Let's go back to the Gospel of John here for a moment. John chapter 10. Verse 5. So what do we know for sure? Well, first of all, the shepherd knows the sheep. He leads the sheep, feeds the sheep, and gives his life for the sheep. We'll see that in a moment. But what do we know about sheep? Well, the sheep know the shepherd. And the sheep follow the shepherd. They know his voice. Come down to verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Then it says in verse 6, underline, Jesus used this illustration. But look at what it says. But they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. If you're here today and you've read this passage, you're wondering, what is this all about? Why are we talking about sheep and shepherds? Because there's a vibrant relationship between the shepherd and the sheep that you and I are dependent upon. We are dependent upon God as our shepherd. And we are the sheep of his pasture. Just because you don't think God is looking out for you doesn't mean he isn't. Just because you're not in tune with the shepherd doesn't mean that the shepherd isn't in tune with you. The shepherd knows all about you. He's waiting for you. He wants you to listen to his voice. He cares for you. He's demonstrated his love for you. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me, those that were came before me, as it relates to this flock named Israel, those who were bent on their own self-interest, they're thieves, they're robbers, they're just trying to steal from you. They're feeding upon you. It says, I am the door. Verse 9, if anyone enters by me, he will be delivered. You'll be saved. You enter into the fold through Jesus. You can write down John chapter 14, verse 6, or verse 1 to 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. As sheep, we experience deliverance as we go to God, as we go to the Father, as we go to the Lord. We discover that He saves us from all kinds of difficulties, challenges in our marriages, in our workplace, in the schoolyard, in society at large. We had a schoolyard, St. Anthony's. There was a time when there was no fence there. There was just a great big cliff went down. And the teacher would say, the teacher would be near the edge of that corner of the schoolyard and say, kids weren't to go over there. And so the kids would be playing, and you know something? We never went to that corner. Even after school, we wouldn't go there. Eventually, they put a fence up, but for years and years and years, there was no fence there. We knew that the cliff was dangerous. We knew that if we fell from there, we would die. Interesting. Who did we listen to? We listened to the voice that said, don't go over there. If you do, you could get hurt. Your mom and dad wouldn't want you going over there, so you need to obey us, because we are also reflecting what mom and dad would say. Our teachers took care of us that way. Come down to verse 10. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come. Jesus is pointing to the fact that he has intentionally come. Jesus has come into the world to demonstrate that he is the shepherd. Boy, do we like to complicate it, don't we? Yeah, it's pretty simple. I am the shepherd, and I have come in the interest of the sheep, those who have placed their trust in me, and I have come that they might have life and that they might have abundant life. What does abundant life look like? Abundant life is being secure in the relationship that you have with your shepherd. Abundant life is to know that you have a clear conscience before God because you're forgiven. Abundant life is being knowing that you're being used of God to love people and to be compassionate. To have abundant life is to know that the resources that God has entrusted to you is to be used in His kingdom work to reach others. That's abundant life. It's not materialism. It's not a life without suffering. It's a life of joy, knowing that God has done everything for us that we need so that we can enjoy life. Verse 11, couldn't have said it any more clearly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Giving his life for the sheep was vividly portrayed on Calvary. And then in the book of Revelation, we have this picture of the Lamb of God. And everything points back to the Old Testament imagery of the Day of Atonement and the Passover. The Day of Atonement is where they took a lamb and they offered a sacrifice and they laid their hands on it, identifying with the sin of the nation. The Passover lamb was to remember God's remarkable deliverance of the nation. Delivered from who? Delivered from the nation of Egypt. But spoke more than that. As John the Baptist points to Jesus, says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus is the shepherd. He is the lamb. We see this imagery, and it's used interchangeably to give us a vivid picture of all that he's done for us. There's another verse here. Let's keep reading the text here. Verse 12. But a hireling, someone who's been hired, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. You know, somebody says, well, you know, I serve as a pastor over there. I punch clock. Get my salary, got my pension. Fit for life. Something goes wrong in the church, guess what he does? He runs. Somebody comes in and threatens him, he runs. That's a hireling. He doesn't care for the flock, doesn't care for the sheep. God says, that's not the kind of shepherds that I want. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Keep reading. He doesn't care about the sheep. Verse 17, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Repeat it again. And I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. In other words, my sheep know me. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father knows that. And other sheep I have, underline. Who's Jesus speaking to right now? Speaking to an audience that's made up of Jewish people, national Israel. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. In other words, they're not part of this enclosure, but they're part of the overall flock. I got lots of different folds. I'm shepherding all these different folds. We could say the Christians in China. We could say the Christians in Vietnam. We could say the Christians in South America. We could say the Christians in Europe. We could say the Christians in Winkler. We could say the Christians in Toronto, etc. Different folds. In this case, it's related to we as Gentiles. We were not Jewish. Those who have come to understand that God has sent his Son. Remember in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of pictures where God had used believers who were not Jewish to accomplish his purposes. Verse 16 says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Put down Ephesians chapter 3 next to that. Because this was the stumbling block for the Jews. This was the stumbling block for Peter. He didn't want to meet with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He gets there, he says, Cornelius, I shouldn't be here. Jews and Gentiles don't mix. The Apostle Paul finally caught it. He met with God and the Lord spoke to him while he was in the desert. And then finally writes this letter to the Ephesian believers. And he says, you know something? When God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, he took down this barrier between Jews and Gentiles. He tore that down. Tore it down because Jesus died for all the sins of all people of all time. And by placing our trust in Christ, we become one flock. Interesting. This was all part of God's plan. There was never to be two flocks, only one flock, but different folds. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. We're going to stop here. I want you to reflect upon the relationship of shepherd and sheep. You know, in this coming week, we're going to be going to a retreat. It's meant to be a time where we're going to enjoy relaxing together, get to know each other. I'm going to watch your kids sneer at the food. I don't like that. Mommy cooked that? Yeah. You're going to see me maybe put a few onions to the side. Oh, we're going to go and relax. We'll play different games. We're going to have a good time together. But I want you to reflect upon this shepherd-sheep relationship. We're going to look at Psalm 23 this weekend. I want us to reflect upon the goodness of God. You know, as we were going through this passage, maybe some questions came to your mind, maybe not. But I thought of a few that maybe some of you should think about. Do I really know my shepherd? Do I understand who the Lord is? As a believer, do I listen to his voice? Do I live in keeping with his word? Do I have issues of conscience when I know there's sin in my life that, Lord, I want to honor you. I need to deal with that. Or do I only follow him for a week? Do I follow him closely, moment by moment? Well, I'm pretty busy, you know. I got lots of things to do. God gave me this job, and he should understand I don't have time for him. No, that doesn't work like that. You're too busy to spend time with intimacy. You're just simply too busy. Time to get to know your shepherd. Do I realize his love and watch care over me? I want to tell you that if you come to understand that, you'll be overwhelmed with appreciation. It'll bring tears to your eyes because you understand how great his love is for you. Or maybe am I simply at this point in my life, am I wayward? I'm not where I should be. And frankly, maybe I'm just a little lost. I jumped the fence. That happens. Do I realize that there are other sheep that he's caring for? Which means that it's not limited to Faith Evangelical Bible Church. We're just a fold in the community. There are other people who know the Lord and who love the Lord. These are just a few questions for you to consider in this coming week. If you want to get that clip on the sheep and you want to hear a few lame jokes that came out of Eric's joke book, I can send you a few. You know why the ram went off the end of the cliff, right? He didn't see the U-turn. Oh, Eric got it, didn't he? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bah. Good. We're not going to be bad. We're going to be good. Let's love the Lord with our whole heart. Let's teach our kids how to do that. You can have a lot of fun doing that. Life is interesting, isn't it? There's a lot of things going on out there, isn't there? Make sure that you're not overexposing your flock. Overexposure is a little tough. Your kids don't need to know everything. And you don't need to know everything. You need to hear his voice. You need to walk closely in the light of his truth. And you need to walk by faith. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you for each family here today. You know, Lord, that we're all at different places in our understanding, and even as it relates to you as our shepherd, some of us are walking closely. Not that we would claim to be, but maybe some of us are walking real close. But Lord, we're not here to compare ourselves. We're just realizing that for each of us, we're at different places. And some of us are not even walking where we should. Thank you that you're the good shepherd and that you bring us back with your staff and your rod and you protect us. And you have given your life and you're giving us all that we need to live godly lives. Help us, Lord, to walk with you, to follow your leading every day, to be in step with you. And as we spend this next week together as a church family, I pray that you would be honored and glorified, that you'd keep us safe as we travel, safe at the camp, and bring us safely back. Father, for those who are still entertaining whether they should come or not, I pray that you'll just convince them this is a great time and that we should be there together. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you love us. Thank you for caring for us every day, every moment. You know every concern, every care. And we thank you that you're forgiving and gracious, merciful all the time. And that you bring healing to our souls, to our minds, to our hearts, and to our relationships. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.